It comes from chapter 7 of Luke, and it's verses 18 through 24. A short little story, a vivid little story. I think you'll find it very interesting, easy to understand. Please listen for the word of God in these words of Luke. The disciples of John the Baptist told John about everything Jesus was doing. So John called for two of his disciples, and he sent them to the Lord to ask him, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, "John the Baptist sent us to ask, 'Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and he restored sight to many who were blind. Then he told John's disciples, "Go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." And he added, "God blesses those who do not fall away because of me." Here ends our reading. May we be blessed with understanding. Would you please join me in a moment of prayer? Loving and gracious God, we ask you this morning to make your presence known to us here. We come here seeking a word of truth, a word of hope. And more so than anything, God, we seek an experience of your love. We want to know that you are real and that you are here for us. Please bless us this day in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Manuela was down in her kitchen preparing lunch for her two kids when she heard a great shriek emanate from upstairs. And so being the good mother that she was, she bounded out of the kitchen and up the stairs and into her son's room, which was the source of the screaming. And when she walked in the doorway of her son's bedroom, she walked in to find her two-year-old daughter clutching her seven-year-old son's hair and just yanking on it. She was tugging on it. She was practically ripping it out of his head, and he was shrieking in pain. It was horrible. And with the deftness that only a mother has, kind of like a ninja, and in a single movement, she loosened the grip of her daughter and calmed her son, patting him on the back, saying, now, there, there, she's too young. She doesn't know how bad it hurts. She just doesn't know. And so her son stopped sobbing, and her daughter went back to playing with her toys, and she thought everything was fine, so Manuela headed back down to the kitchen, but no sooner had her foot hit the top stair, then she heard another scream come from the bedroom. So she rushes back in, this time to find her son pulling her daughter's hair, and he looks up and he smiles and says, "She knows now, doesn't she?" There is something about experience that helps us understand things on a deeper level than we could otherwise. There's something about experience that helps us trust that something is true with greater conviction than we could without it. And that's what today's story from Luke is all about. So the story opens up on John the Baptist. He's in prison, and for those of you who were in church when we read this a couple weeks ago, he's been in prison since shortly after he baptized Jesus in the Jordan. And so Jesus, even in the midst of being in prison, his followers have been telling him about all these miraculous things that Jesus is doing. He's healing people, giving sight to the blind. Last week, he brought somebody back from the dead. So he's hearing all these amazing things, and yet he's still questioning, is this Jesus guy really the Messiah? So he's questioning whether Jesus is the Messiah because, in truth, what John was expecting of the Messiah was some sort of military conqueror who would come, who would push out the Roman armies, and who would restore Judea to Jewish rule. And while all these healings and stuff, they sounded nice, all right? They sounded well and good, but that wasn't the mark of the Messiah that John was expecting. And to allay his concerns, he sent two of his followers to Jesus to ask him straight out, "Jesus, Are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else? So John's two followers go and they ask Jesus verbatim the question that John sent them with. They say, Jesus, are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we wait for someone else? But Jesus does not meet their direct question with a direct answer, does he? He doesn't say, yes, I am the Messiah. Instead, what Jesus does is he looks around the crowd in front of him, and he finds people with various ailments, and he sees someone who is blind. He's like, you're blind? Boom. Now you're healed. You're deaf? Boom. Now you can hear. You're lame? Boom. Now you can walk. You have leprosy? Boom. Now you look like the after photo in a Clear Cell ad. Instead of simply telling John's disciples, yes, I am the Messiah, Jesus lets them experience his power. And then he then instructs them to go back to John and report to him what they have seen and heard. And although the scripture doesn't say it, it's implied that they return to John convicted of the truth that Jesus is the Messiah. Had he sent them away with a simple yes, we don't know if they really would have believed him, but instead he gave them an experience of his power. And while much has changed in the past 2,000 years, not to mention the last 2 weeks in America, we as people of faith still need, just like John's followers did, we need real experiences of God in our life. It's so, so central to our lives of faith. You can study the scriptures regularly. You can recite the ancient creeds of our church diligently. You can post nice religious things on Facebook habitually. But if you don't meet God in real experience in the midst of prayer and in service to your neighbors, it's all going to be for naught. All that intellectual work doesn't amount to anything if we don't have real experiences of God. As human beings, we're built for experience. It builds us up. It convicts us. Like a sibling yanking on our hair, it helps us get God in a real way, on a deep level, on an innate level. We need that experience. And while that, I think that's an interesting point about what it means to be a human being, what I think the real good news in today's story is, I think the good news is that while we need experience to keep our faith strong, the truth is that from time to time we're going to be locked up in places that prevent us from getting to those experiences. Whether the particular prison that we're locked up in is an actual physical prison cell like John's was, or whether it's a prison of abuse, of shame, of mental illness, of work or family situations that drain us of all our energy. Whatever that prison is that we find ourselves in, the good news this morning is that we are able to, just like John, we're able to send our friends out ahead of us to taste and see that God is good, to have that experience, and we can live vicariously through them. They can come back to us and report to us what they have seen and heard, and it can give us hope that this prison that we're in at the moment does not get the final word. It's not all that there is. That is why Christian communities, even small ones like this morning, this is why Christian communities are so important. They're so vital. It's hard to be a Christian all by your lonesome, because one week I'm going to be going through something and I'm going to need one of you to go out ahead and tell me that God is good, God is with me, God is strong and powerful and is right here beside me, because in the prison cell I'm in, I can't experience it. And then maybe the next week you're going through something and I'll run on ahead and I'll report back to you. And together we can hold on to our faith in ways that we cannot as individuals. In faith communities like ours, there's shared hope and there's mutuality of experience. We're able to hold on to our trust in God in ways that we simply cannot alone. And so this morning, I will just leave you with this, friends. Be good to one another and never, ever hesitate to speak to each other the good news that you have seen and heard of God, because you never know. You just never know what kind of prison someone may be in whenever you come across them. Amen.